Hi, this is Mike Madula and you're listening to the ZFM Sports Podcast.
Z.
Nice, Messi! It is the cleanest of clean finishes and the best on the planet.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
It's a very good evening. It's a ZFM Sport on a Monday. It is Manic Monday. The team is here. Mike Madura, Sean Tafirinika, our producer, Alex Wingira, and myself, Barry Manandi. On the home front today, alarm bells are ringing at Chicken Inn as the Gamecocks have lost more ground in the title race after succumbing to their second defeat in a row when they fell at the hands of a determined Gezi Platinum Stars in a lively match played at Luveve Stadium. In international sports news, Springboks captain Siya Kolisi says his team have belief again after snapping a long win drought in Australia, with their focus now on a crunch doubleheader against Argentina in a wide open rugby championship race. And around the world, 60 we have updates from New York, Boston, and Zandvoort.
I'm sure a lot of you are looking forward to the second half of the show because it's the Castle World Football Report, and kickoff is in the Premier League, where Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag has pleaded for patience from fans after the Red Devils' resurgence engaged a new gear following last night's 3-1 victory over table toppers, the Arsenal. In Serie A, AC Milan striker Olivier Giroud has praised the Rossoneri's fighting spirit as two goals by the brilliant Rafael Leao helped the champions fight back from a goal down and earn a 3-2 win over Inter in the Derby de la Madonina. And in Spain, Valencia coach Gennaro Gattuso Rino is delighted with his players following the emphatic 5-1 win against Getafe, which sent a statement to the rest of La Liga.
The home front. Local sports news and analysis. From Rufaro to Barberfield, Mandava to Nyamunga, all the perfect moments in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League come together on ZFM Sport.
All right, in the top tier of domestic football, alarm bells are ringing at Chicken Inn as the Gamecocks have lost more ground in the title race after succumbing to their second defeat in a row when they fell a 2-1 at the hands of a determined Gezi Platinum Stars in a lively match played at Luveve Stadium. The defeat leaves Chicken Inn 11 points behind log leaders FC Platinum with 8 matches left to play. Wulaya-based football pundit Muziwetu Khadebe says Chicken Inn's faltering title challenge is symptomatic of an aging squad.
Not easy for Chicken Inn, the 2015 champions. Quite interesting that they came into the PSL at the same time with FC Platinum, and FC Platinum in the last 3-4 years have really been very dominant if you want to compare them with Chicken Inn. They've both tried to use the same concept, which has worked very well for FC Platinum, where you target your players who are out of contract but have been outstanding. You offer them a decent salary, then you bring them that are contributing to having the best possible side that can win you the championship. It hasn't worked very well for Chicken Inn. It has also been coupled by the fact that they have a player like Moses Jackson, their captain. I think age not on his side in terms of playing that central defensive role. We have seen them try to bring Vincent Moyo from Bulawayo City. He has done well, Vincent, but seems not to be having the right partner in terms of that central defense. This has seen them conceding some crucial goals that have seen them lose some matches. Also, if you want to look up front, Brian Musa, coming from Division 1, he has done well, has weighed in with 10 goals, but the biggest challenge that maybe I'm seeing is that when he's off form, there is no one to complement his efforts in terms terms of scoring, and that has made it difficult for Chicken. And so the goals have not been coming. The defense a bit oldish there when you want to look at Moses Jackson, and this has just made it a bit difficult for them as they try not to concede as well as trying to score at the same time. So it has proved a bit tricky, a bit difficult, and in my view that has been the biggest challenge. Whereas on the other end, you find an FC Platinum team that capitalizes very well on these players who would be out of contract, and they simply managed to combine them well with the emerging youngsters, which worked well for them.
The voice of Bulawayo based football pundit Muziwethu Radebe, he talks about the fact that the aging squad, Mike, as well as the fact that when Brian Musa, who's been their source of goals, is off form, the goals don't come. In this game, they got an early start with Brian Musa on the bench. Malvin Huerta stood up and I wanted to say stooped to conquer, but he actually is quite a tall man and actually headed in the first goal. So it looked like things were on their way in the right direction, but it wasn't to be.
It wasn't to be, Barry. One of the functions of age is also energy. And the longer the game goes, you'll find out that the older sides invariably will always suffer, will always slow down. Their reactions that become a bit more, you know, slower, and the second to the ball, father time begins to take its toll. And it's not a function of mental strength. It's not a function of ability. It's just a function of the physical condition of the players. They're just not able to maintain that intensity over a 90-minute game, especially against decent sides. Now, Ngezi Platinum Stars, of course, contrary to the league position, is a decent side because they've got decent players in that squad. We've seen Zimplats, and of course, the owners of that team invest quite heavily, even though things haven't gone according to plan for this season. At the start of the season, a lot of people were predicting Ngezi Platinum Stars to have a title tilt. We all acknowledge the quality and the numbers and the depth in that squad. So in this game here against an aging Chicken Inn, where Muziwethu Radebe rightly points to the likes of Moses Jackson playing at centre-back. That's a key and critical position. Yeah. And he's no longer the same Moses Jackson that we knew pre-COVID.
Yeah.
The man is now nudging 40, if not north of 40. And there is no way that he should still be cutting it against the best players in our league. We saw it with Innocent Mapranga at one point, the former Highlanders captain who... Listen, he was all heart, all effort, you know, a willing trier. Never let the side down as far as effort was concerned. But there came a time when age just simply caught up with the man. And I think right now, the hierarchy at Chicken Inn have got to look at players like Moses Jackson and think to themselves, you know what, this may well be his last season. He served us well. He's been a good server to Chicken Inn Football Club. Make no mistake about that. But I think there can be a role found for him in the club, like they did with Clement Matau. And, you know, accommodate players like Moses Jackson because, you know, you're a young club.
Yeah.
Chicken Inn has been in our top flight for less than a decade.
Yeah, sure.
They're a very young club. And so what you want are players like Matau, like Moses Jackson, who carried the DNA
of the club,
to remain in the club so that you continue on that club building process. But as far as their designs for this season are concerned, Barry, it's all but over. And I don't think we should still be considering Chicken Inn in the title tilt, where FC Platinum are leading the way and Dynamos are chasing. I think Chicken Inn right now should be nervously looking over their shoulder at Highlanders, who are in fourth and just 4 points behind them now.
Absolutely. If we want to dramatize what Mike is saying there, Alois, Chicken Inn 11 points off FC Platinum, 8 matches to play. Their form in the last 5 games is shocking because they have lost 3, 1-1 against Harare City, which is relegation threatened, and drawn 1 against ZPC Kariba in Kariba, and they were all
4 out of 15.
So that's not, in fact, if we want to be honest, Alice, that's relegation to 4.
If you remember a few weeks ago, I actually said that it's Dynamos that can only chase FC Platinum. Why? Because I was looking at the inconsistency. For me, it was the inconsistency of Chicken Inn. Guys, come on. When at the beginning of the season, we thought they were up there and they were going to be chasing for the championship. But their inconsistency betrayed us. You know, it was win here, you draw here, or lose there. You cannot chase the championship when you are not consistent. Mm-hmm. We spoke about FC Platinum, that they hit consistency towards the end of the season. Yeah. And they actually started their consistency like right in the middle of the season, and it was actually showing that, you know what, they could actually run away with it. Thanks to Dynamos, who have got who gave us a resurgence.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise we'll be talking about it's game over.
Yeah,
right now, if Dynamos had not come back, you know, with some kind of consistency that is very very important to the title chase
speaking
as well.
Speaking of Dynamos, title chasing Dynamos did enough to collect maximum points following a narrow 2-1 win over relegation threatened Harare City at the National Sports Stadium yesterday. Two first half goals from Afko Ondera and Ghanaian forward Emmanuel Paga ensured that Dimbare reduced the gap to 6 points to lead as FC Platinum, who beat Manica Diamonds 2-0 on a Saturday. That's exactly what you're saying, isn't it, Lewis? That Dynamos is managing to weather grind out results. And we had a look at that game yesterday against Harare City. They didn't necessarily look like a relegation threatened team.
They played well. They were a better side.
They were the better side. They shaded it. But Dynamos found a way.
Yeah, they've got the grit. Yeah, you know, I think they found a way to win matches. You know, we go back to their statement that which was actually which was against the coach, but it came back yesterday that, you know what, we don't care about is playing pretty.
Now they can say it
as long as they can collect points. Yeah, you can say that, because honestly speaking, I thought Harare City were the better side. You know, if they had converted a few chances that they also got. You know, especially after equalizing, they got about 2-3 chances that they could have converted. It could have been a different Pokemon altogether. But it's off to Dynamos. You know, you gotta give them the respect. They have the grit. They actually go. They're collecting points when it matters the most. It's good for Zimbabwean football. They're doing us a favor as football fans in Zimbabwe. Because if they had continued on their trajectory previously, we could be talking about FC Platinum grabbing the championship already. But they're giving us a run for FC's money. I think they're extending it. We're going further. You know, I'm probably going down to maybe last 3-4 matches.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, for me, my only concern is that, you know, in this period, which FC Platinum has suffered something of a blip, because they're not scoring as many goals as they have been scoring. I think in the last 5 matches, FC Platinum have only scored 6 goals. Their strength, however, remains their defense, FC Platinum, in that in that period, they've only conceded 1. And it's difficult to lose matches if you don't concede much. Dynamos, to their credit, also have conceded 1, but Dynamos have scored 9 goals in the last 5 matches, you know, and goals were very difficult to come by in that horrendous run that Dynamos suffered, and a lot of fans were calling for Tondera Stanza Ndiraya's head. Yes. My only concern is that FC Platinum haven't dropped enough points in this blip of theirs for Dynamos to really have made it very uncomfortable. Because at 6 points, I mean, there's a measure of comfort there for FC Platinum, especially knowing that they don't have to play Dynamos in any of the remaining matches. And it remains in the hands of FC Platinum and other teams to do Dynamos a favor. Classically, we've known Dynamos, especially under Kalisto Pasua, when they did that four-peat, is that they would then engage the teams that they were competing with for honors.
Yes.
And classically, they would get the results that they needed in order to ensure the title victory or to close the gap. I think they did it on a couple of occasions with Highlanders at Barber Fields. Yeah. I remember the one game where Ocean Mushuda scored late, I think with about 6 or 7 minutes to go, in a game that Highlanders totally dominated, but Dynamos still found a way to win. In this particular scenario, unfortunately, they don't have FC Platinum in the away. So Norman Mapeza knows that, you know what, I just simply have to beat the teams that are in front of me. And first up for Norman Mapeza as he tries to close out this title victory, which of course you'll see him achieve a four-peat of his own, is to beat Wawa, the bottom side, this coming weekend.
At Ascot Stadium. So that's his next task. It's a short trip from Shashavani to Gweru, and he's still got to do the business against Wawa side that's certainly struggling. Your Castle Lager Premier Soccer League match day 26 results. ZPC Karib winning 2-0 over Tenax. Triangle were too good for Bulawayo City. They beat 3-0. Bulawayo Chiefs 1-0 winners over Black Rhinos, while Cranbourne Bullets beat Wawa 3-1. 1-1 at Vengere. While Caps United, 1-1 draw with Herentals. Caps United missing a penalty in that game. While FC Platinum, 2-0 winners, like we said, over Manica Diamonds. Dynamo's getting a 2-1 result over Harare City. And then Ngezi Platinum Stars coming from behind to beat Chicken Inn 2-1. The title looks like this. FC Platinum off on 55 points. Dynamo's is on 49, 6 points behind. Chicken Inn 11 points off the top on 45 points. And then Highlanders is in fourth. As Mike said, they're only 4 points behind Chicken Inn, so Chicken Inn should be looking over their shoulders. The top five is completed.
I think you gotta give Jose Brito, I think he deserves honorable mention there. Where he found Highlanders.
Yeah, give it to him.
And where he's taken Highlanders to, which is the top four. They will no doubt, listen, they're not in the title shakeup under any imagination. But I think what he's done for Highlanders, he's restored pride.
Pride,
pride is an important thing, especially at clubs like Dynamos, like Highlanders, like Caps United, the traditional teams. Pride is an important factor because it's pride in performance that brings bums on seats and makes fans believe. And so it's there's something to build on. It's exciting again in Bulawayo. That's something to build on for Jose Brito. I mean, those that gave him a mandate, I think, can look at his performances and say, you know what, if we entrust this man with a bit more, perhaps we can be in the title shakeup next season.
I think when you look at Highlanders, you can actually think that, you know what, this team is going to be challenging for the championship next season. You know, if I have to put my money, I can put my money on Highlanders next season to actually wrestle this title from SC Platinum. Well, I'm looking at SC Platinum getting this one. But Highlanders can actually be a very, very serious contender next season.
And then, guys, an honorable mention is that Highlanders broke that hoodoo and got the monkey off their back.
Yes.
They won away.
Another important development as well.
Yes.
Against Yada. So I think that's a very, very important result for Highlanders. It gets the monkey off their back. And now they can start to work without the pressure of leaving Barber Fields and everybody talking about, they haven't won away from Barber Fields in so long. Relegation zone looks like this. Wawa is last in second last, 10x. Harare City is in there, and Bulawayo City. ZFC Kariba is fighting to stay out of their relegation zone. So the city fathers of both Harare and Bulawayo at this stage look like they might be playing Division 1 football. Let's give you a local sports news roundup with hockey, tennis, and cricket before we jump into some international rugby.
Hi, this is Benjamin Locke. I'm on the Zimbabwe Davis Cup team, and you're listening to ZFM Sport.
Let's start with the hockey news, where Zimbabwe's men's and women's field hockey teams wrapped up their participation in the Central South Africa qualifier for the African Games in style when they won their finals at St. John's College yesterday. Zimbabwe's women's team beat Namibia 1-0 and the men's side defeated Zambia 3-2. Two teams per category qualified for the African Games, and Zimbabwe's teams went into the finals having already booked their place at the Continental Games. In tennis news, Zimbabwe's top-ranked professional tennis player, Benjamin Locke, claimed his third doubles title on the ATP Challenger Tour after winning the Bangkok Open final in Thailand on Saturday. Locke combined with Yuta Shimizu of Japan to comfortably beat Francis Casey Alcantara of the Philippines and Christopher Rungkat of Indonesia 6-1, 6-1 in the final played on outdoor hard courts. It was the fourth ATP Challenger Tour title for Locke, who has multiple doubles titles on the International Tennis Federation Men's World Tennis Tour, which is a level below ATP Challenger Tour. We're wrapping up with cricket news, where Zimbabwe head coach Dave Houghton says the success of the Chevrons should translate into more matches for the country and more tours to bigger cricket-playing nations. Following two big losses, Zimbabwe spinners, especially Ryan Burl, turned things around in the third game, bowling out the host Australia for a paltry 141 and then overhauling the target for the loss of 7 wickets with 11 overs to spare for a historic win. The victory was Zimbabwe's maiden one-day international win against Australia in Australia. And we've got to say, Barry, cricket fans were cock-a-hoot. And just when you begin to have doubts around Zimbabwe cricket, because we had suffered those two chastening defeats in the first two one-day internationals, these boys continue to show immense character and fortitude to bounce back, not just to be competitive, but to register victory against a full-strength Australia.
Yeah, and that's, again, credit to Davey Houghton, because in truth, we all said that let's see what they can do when they get a setback. And they did it against Bangladesh. This time they're against world-class opposition, and they still do it against Australia in Australia. Couldn't be more proud of these boys.
From the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play.
Let's jump into the international rugby news, where Springboks captain Siya Kolisi says his team have belief again after snapping a long win drought in Australia, with their focus now on a crunch doubleheader against Argentina in a wide open rugby championship race. South Africa had not tasted victory in Australia for 9 years, but put their demons to bed in a fiery 24-8 bonus point win over the Wallabies at a heaving Alliance Stadium. Let's hear from Siya Kolisi.
You know, there was nothing different to our performance, like on our game plan or anything like that. It's just that we took the opportunities we created today, and that's what we want to do each and every single time. It will make our job so much easier, you know, not to have to fight back the whole time, you know. But the fact that we can create those kind of opportunities is encouraging, and the fact that we could finish today was really good for us as a team, and it's also a good reminder that we can do it going forward. You know, we must just keep on doing them. That's all we want. It's just been consistent in taking the opportunities once we create them.
Yeah, and saying the C word for Siya Kolisi is probably what they need to focus on. Consistency. If they can be consistent. And look, we know what South Africa does, but they just need to be consistent in doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. They need to be consistent, but it's not going to be easy. We have seen this Argentina side that they're up against. Yeah. It's a vastly improved side. I know this past weekend's result, we will not speak into that, and we're going to discuss that a bit later on. They were well and truly thumped by the All Blacks, but the previous two results that they enjoyed, the Pumas in the rugby championship, were a first time victory in New Zealand versus the All Blacks, and then of course that thumping off Australia in Argentina. Showing you that when they do bring their A game, the Pumas, they can beat anyone, especially if they are playing on their own patch. So they're a side that can't be sniffed at. The Springboks know that they're going to have to play well, and play well is exactly what they did this past weekend versus the Wallabies. We talked the previous weekend about a fast start, and the Wallabies had got that in the previous game that they won. This time it was the Springboks. Fast start, straight out of the blocks, very physical, very intense. They had the Wallabies around the throat and they did not let up, and that is actually what they got them the victory. It was just the intensity and the ferocity at which they played, and the Wallabies couldn't match them.
Yeah, they dominated territory and a possession in their 4-1 victory. And Dave Rennie, the Wallabies coach, says that it highlights how tough international footy is at the moment, and that, quote, the teams are so even, if you're 5% off, you get hurt.
Absolutely. Look, the previous weekend, what were we talking about? We were talking about the Argentine side beating the All Blacks.
Yeah.
Why? Because the All Blacks were just a tad off their game.
Yep.
This weekend, the All Blacks got everything right. Cut out the mistakes. They were on top of their game. They put them to the sword.
Mm.
Last previous weekend as well, it was the Wallabies on top of the situation versus the Springboks. This time, it's a reverse. We're talking about the abnormality of the log standings last week on Monday.
Yeah.
And that log has now been turned completely around. So I believe that there are fine margins between about 6 or 7 sides in world rugby. Of course, the Southern Hemisphere nations. Then you throw in your France, your England, your Ireland, and possibly your Wales in that mix. Means that they're about 7 or 8 sides who on their day can beat each other.
I'm sure that excites you for the World Cup.
Can't wait. But I do have a feeling that closer to the World Cup, I think you'll have about 2 or 3 sides
that will stand
That'll stand out and pull away.
100%. Now, in other results, New Zealand forwards coach Jason Ryan has called for consistency after the 53-3 thrashing of Argentina, saying it should not take a setback to fire up the All Blacks. New Zealand unleashed their most complete 80 minutes of 2022 in Hamilton on Saturday, running in 7 unanswered tries and brimming with intensity just 7 days after being stunned 25-18 by the same opponents. What you were talking about, the consistency, the ability to cut out the mistakes, play the perfect game, and Again, it's testament to the strides made by Argentina that the All Blacks have to bring it against Argentina. In previously, the All Blacks show up, they'll beat Argentina.
Yeah, absolutely, they'll do that, even in second gear. But there was one fascinating stat for me. I think as we were approaching the 60th minute in this game, the commentators talked about only two handling errors from the All Blacks.
That's it.
And that was the key difference with the last game. The other key difference was the All Blacks' ferocity at the breakdown.
Right.
They didn't give the Pumas a chance because the Pumas in the previous game had dominated the breakdown. This time, Sam Kane, every time we seem to call out Sam Kane and criticize him and question his leadership,
when he's staring the exit in the face,
he comes up with a man of the match performance, and he was absolutely immense in this game. And it was not a surprise, I mean, that they ended up, and this is the thing about the All Blacks, you know. Yeah. I loved it because this was classic All Blacks. They were registering a comfortable win, and a lot of nations would have said, you know what, at about 33 it's okay. Yeah. We've won this game, and that, you know, the newspaper's going to be singing our praises. Yeah. They decided to go for more.
Yeah.
And go for more. When they got to 40, you could tell that they were thinking, hang on,
a point to
we could score 50 here.
Yeah, yeah, it was a point to prove. And as a result, New Zealand is sitting atop the Rugby Championship standings. But when we say this is a tight Rugby Championship or open Rugby Championship, we absolutely mean it. New Zealand is on top. They've got 10 points. Second is Australia. Third, South Africa. Fourth, Argentina. All on 9 points. 1 point in it in all four nations. So everything to play for.
Can I tell you something else that's fascinating?
Yeah.
Both, or not both, all four.
Yeah.
Have played two.
Yeah.
One, two, lost two.
Lost two. So it's the bonus points that are counting.
It's tight.
All right. We go around the world in a 60. We got stops in New York, Boston, and Zandvoort.
Hello, my name is Ibn Etzibeth. I play for the Stormers and the Springboks. You're listening to ZFM.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We serve off in New York, where Nick Kyrgios has said his desire to make those closest to him proud and change the public's perception of him is the driving force behind his improved play following his fourth round win over world number one Daniil Medvedev at the US Open after a 7-6, 3-6, 6-3, 6-2 win powered him into the quarterfinals. The Mercurial Australian has long been open about his struggles with mental health and said he's proud to have bounced back after being in some scary places in recent years. We'll go over to Boston, where Dustin Johnson, DJ, claimed his first LIV Golf Invitational Series title after holding a long-range eagle putt to claim a dramatic playoff victory. The two-time major winner beat Chile's Joachim Niemann and India's Anirban Lahiri in a three-way playoff after the trio finished their 54 holes on 15 under par. Zimbabwean golfer Scott Vincent, with a total of 5 under, finished tied for 21 in the 48 player field. So congratulations to him holding his own in that Stirler field in Boston. And in Zandvoort, Max Verstappen's serene march to a second title continued with a comfortable victory in an eventful Dutch Grand Prix. The Red Bull driver had to pass Lewis Hamilton's Mercedes after a late safety car period to take his 10th win in 15 races this year to extend his lead to 109 points. We've always talked about Ferrari botching it this season, but this past race was marked by a monumental cock-up by Mercedes. Don't miss full details on tomorrow's Zimoco Formula One report.
The Castellaga Premier Soccer League, La Liga, Serie A, the English Premier League, the Bundesliga. It all comes together with the Castle on the Castellaga World Football Report.
Right, let's get into it. Our producer here, not very excited about this particular section of the show today because he's an Arsenal fan. But let's start off, of course, let's ease him into it by giving you the weekend results out of England. It all kicked off with the Merseyside derby. That one finished a goalless. Outstanding performances by Jordan Pickford. Barry, he kept Everton in that game, made as many as 8 brilliant saves. Yeah. And you've got to say that, you know what, there was a time when he was being questioned and as England's number one, but over the last 12 months or so, he has shown his value as a goalkeeper.
Yeah, look, I think he has. I still feel that perhaps I still have questions around him being number one.
Can he? But who would challenge him though, for that number one spot?
I think Henderson is making a good shout of it. I think Ramsdale at Arsenal is making a good fist of it as well. And notice I haven't even spoken about Nick Pope. So I think that they're goalkeepers that are coming through
that are better
than Pickford in all facets of goalkeeping. Mm, he's a great shot stopper, but I think his decision making is wayward, and I think his distribution is now
his decision making yesterday was absolutely spot on as they defied Liverpool. Brentford thumped Leeds 5-2. Newcastle United and Crystal Palace goalless draw. VAR controversy in that one, as there was in the Brentford game, as there was in the Everton game. Should Virgil van Dijk have been given a red card? Nottingham Forest going down at home to Bournemouth 3-2. Tottenham 2-1 victors over Fulham. Wolves beating Southampton 1-0. Aston Villa and Man City. VAR controversy in that one. Brighton thumped Leicester 5-2. Chelsea 2-1 victors over West Ham United. VAR controversy in that one. My goodness. But the talk of the weekend, Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag has pleaded for patience from fans after his side's resurgence stepped into a new gear following last night's 3-1 victory over Arsenal.
Well, worried is a big word. I know our defending line can deal with that. But, you know, they have a lot of creativity. And what I said, they have good routines. But we could have done things better, but that will come. We are not that long together as Arsenal is. And when we get that in, we will be even more get control in the game. And that is what we have to work for. But that's hard work. And so still a lot room for improvement. Now, I think we had a good plan, but we didn't get it on the pitch. And I think when we should have, we could control it. And then it's no problem. So we will work on that. But as you see, even if the team gets a setback, they deal with it. They fight back. And that's really cool to see. That is this mentality, I like that.
That is Erik ten Hag pleading for patience from the fans. That includes you, Alois. Yeah. Are you happy with what you see?
I was happy with what I saw. You know, to be honest, we played a counter-attacking game, which works wonders, which works so well. The forwards were clinical. You know, going forward, the energy. Arsenal dominated possession. They are sleek. They played well. They played a good game. It was good to the eye. Mm. It was enjoyable. I enjoyed watching Arsenal yesterday, but I enjoyed the tactical acumen of Manchester United, because they knew that they couldn't
match. They had a plan to counter what Arsenal was doing.
They knew what was happening. You could actually see that these counterattacks were not just random. Mm. These were
The first goal, I think there were four passes backwards as they drew Arsenal in, and then there was the forward thrust once the space was created.
Exactly. So that it was methodical. You know, I could actually watch it. I was like, here we go. And you can actually feel it's on. Yes, you can actually feel it's on now. Now we can go. And the second one was like bang, bang, bang. They were pressing, and all of a sudden it's get out of here.
Rashford is on his way. Barry, I want to bring you in. And Man United fans, I want you to hear me carefully. And Alois, I also want you to hear me carefully. I say this not by way of insult.
Okay.
But what we saw yesterday, Barry, was that not Ole Ball by another name?
Yeah.
Now, this is not the Ole that got fired last season, but the Ole that finished second. In the league.
Yeah.
It was very similar. The spot setup, the way that they approached the game,
spot on.
The personnel chosen,
spot
and
on.
Everything was
spot on. It was Ole. It was Ole Ball by a different name, and also with a bit more quality in it, because now you had the likes of Antony in there, and so you've got Rafael Varane.
Sancho found a bit more confidence.
Malacia,
Eriksen.
So Eriksen in the middle. So with a bit more quality, but certainly I would agree with you 100%.
In the same way,
it was Ole Ball, and perhaps. Manchester United should perhaps not try to be, to quote Ndiraya, Manchester City. They should try to be United and be a counter-attacking team.
Especially with the vision, Alois, of Eriksen and Bruno. I mean, some of the passing that we saw in that game, when the team is set up like that to play counter-attacking football, it seems that's when we see the best of Bruno.
Yeah.
When Man United has tried to dominate possession and they've tried to pass it around for far too long, sideways and back, etc., it seems we haven't been able to get the same Bruno like we saw last season, where Bruno was hardly recognizable as one of the best players in the league. But now we're beginning to see shades of that Bruno who initially stormed into the English Premier League and dominated with his stats, especially his assists.
Most definitely, Mike. I said it, and people, I don't know, people disagreed with me. I was saying Pogba should get out of that team. Because why? Remember I was saying he slows down Manchester United. He wants to take a second, another touch. Mm. And when you have a person like Bruno, Bruno is a thinker. He's a quick thinker.
And he doesn't want to pass.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I wanted to say. He sees a pass way before he gets the ball. So he wants to play it. Now he's busy asking for the ball from Pogba. Pogba is delaying. Mm. And by the time he gets the ball, it's blocked.
I like where you have taken the conversation. Pogba is one. The other one, Ronaldo. We talked about it, Ronaldo.
Ronaldo. Very true.
Ronaldo surely in this system has got to be content with being a bit part player off the bench, because I can't see him complementing the attributes of this present team and that vision of Eriksen and Bruno Fernandes, because he simply just doesn't have the pace that he used to have 5 years ago.
No, he doesn't. And also you could see it when he came on. He struggled. And three of the substitutes struggled with the balance of the Man United team. Casemiro didn't cover himself in glory when he came on. I think one of his first touches was a mistake that resulted in Arsenal looking at De Gea in the whites of his eyes. Harry Maguire had a few loose touches to begin with, and then Ronaldo didn't have a game that covered himself in glory. That's also, Bruno was in the shadow of Mdara. So that last season, we didn't see the best of him because everything was being funneled into Ronaldo. Let Bruno have the freedom to pick a pass, to decide whether he's going to give it to Sancho, to give it to Rashford or whoever. Not necessarily everything funneling through Ronaldo. And then you'll see the best of Bruno, and we're seeing it this season.
All right, let's go into the messages because there are plenty. Anze, good evening, sports team. Regai Zive Shiri, Lesta, Inamuto, Arsenal, Gujiwa on week 6, se broiler. The Anthony boy. What a way to introduce himself to the Man United faithful. 2 out of 2 versus the Big 5. Java Zebora is glory, glory Man United. That's Nolan Mapranga. Kwa Morambinda. Kwa Morambinda. that's brilliant. Dimbare Man United made my weekend. That is Anzi Kadiki, MT Pachikomo Apo. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show. And then Anzi, what about the disallowed goal? What's your take on that? And I think he's talking about the Arsenal goal, Barry. And you've got to say that the decision was, I think, spot on.
That's one that VAR got, right?
Yeah. The VAR got that one correct. It was a foul.
It was a foul.
Listen, just barely seconds later, the ball was in the back of the net.
Yeah, no. In the build-up, there was a clear foul in the middle of the pitch. And in truth, there was no question about it. I think VAR had a terrible weekend, but on that one, they got on absolutely right.
Okay, and I think on tomorrow's show, we'll of course be exploring the outcry of VAR and some of the fallout which has seen
the officials limited
admit to, of course, their shortcomings this past weekend, particularly two matches, the goal that was disallowed for West Ham and as well as the goal that was disallowed for Newcastle United. They put their hand up and said, we got it wrong in these two matches, and there have been, of course, engagements that are underway right now, and tomorrow will no doubt explore that issue by and large. Let's take a look at the latest log standings. Arsenal still lead the way with 15 points after 6 matches. City are in second, just 1 point behind Arsenal. They have 14 points. Also Arsenal on 14 points. It's Tottenham. Brighton, they're having a good start to the season. They got 13 points from their four matches. United is in fifth, Chelsea in sixth, and Liverpool are in seventh place. Currently in the relegation places at the moment, with lots to worry about. Leicester City, victoryless this season. Nottingham Forest and West Ham.
The Nerazzurri, the Black and Blues, Inter Milan.
Barella, and of all the people, Arturo Vidal.
The Giallorossi, the Yellow and Reds, AS Roma.
Pedro, he'll have a go! Oh. It scores! Sensational goal from Pedro as Roma doubled their lead in the derby.
La Viola, the purple ones, Fiorentina.
Great support play, wonderful goal, and Castrovilli 2-2 for him. What a fine breakaway goal from Fiorentina.
The Bianconeri, the black and whites, Juventus.
Ronaldo seals yet another 3 points for Juventus.
Tough yet colourful, the best of Italian football on Z.
Notable results out of Italy this past weekend. Udinese thumping Roma 4-0. A chastening result, Barry, for Jose Mourinho. It looked like everything was hunky-dory and everything was smooth sailing. But this will be yet another reminder that there's still a lot of work to do for Mourinho at Roma.
Yeah, everybody needs a kick up the backside, and I think this was the kick that he needed. And I'm sure Mourinho, in typical Mourinho style, he'll be able to pick up his troops and get it back on track. Udinese playing well to get there, and full value for their 4-0. So the credit to them, but Roma needs to get things back on track and quickly.
Fiorentina and Juventus shared the spoils in a 1-1 draw, and Napoli won on the road 2-1 at the Stadio Olimpico in Roma. They beat, of course, Lazio. But the big game was the Derby della Madonnina, and AC Milan striker Olivier Giroud has praised the Rossoneri's fighting spirit as two goals by Rafael Leao helped the defending champions fight back from a goal down and earn a 3-2 win over local rivals Inter. Let's hear from the Frenchman, Olivier Giroud.
The message, our credo, if I can say, is crederci sempre. Always believe. And yeah, even when you concede the goal, the most important is to keep the team spirit, the team cohesion, not to rush our football and to play with our qualities. We were lucky to come back straight away in the game with a nice Rafa's goal. And then after, I think, that was the turning point, if I can say. Or maybe my goal in second half. But I knew that after that goal, we didn't let them take too much confidence. That's why we were back in the game.
See.
All right. Before we get into a discussion of that, I just thought I'd help out Marshall in Chinoy. He says, hi, guys. I'm not hearing Peter Drury's voice on big matches. Where is he? Those big games need Peter Drury's voice. Well, Marshall, they're hearing Peter Drury's voice in the United States of America. He's working on one of the TV networks in the United States doing the English Premier League for the American market and no longer for the global market. So unfortunately, we won't be hearing him, but there are those in America who have paid big money, no doubt, for his services.
To poach him.
That's what happens, you know, when you're that good. Skilled. Remember, we had John Dykes as well, who was another one, a familiar face on our televisions, and used to lead
best
the discussions
anchor,
of best anchor. Yeah, and he went to Asia.
Yeah, and
he was taken up there. So these guys are being offered money by different television networks around the world. And so it's not like he's quit the game or left the game. It's just that he's no longer exposed to our market. The Americans are enjoying him.
I'm hoping that he'll be actually part of the Champions League commentary panel so that we can still hear him.
I hope so too. And I hope also he'll be part of the World Cup panel.
The World Cup is special.
I hope he'll be involved in that as well, because, you know, and then Martin Tyler. So anyway, let's talk about the Derby della Madonnina, guys. And Rafael Leao. Alois. Nice. Yeah. What a player. You know, occasionally they comes a young, bright star onto the world football scene that truly captures the imagination. A few years ago, we're talking about, you know, Kylian Mbappe, etc. But I see Rafael Leao in that mold.
Yeah.
This is a guy, I think, who's going to climb to the very top of world football.
Yeah, if he keeps the trajectory. You know, sometimes you have a boy wonder that comes onto the scene and they fade away. You know,
they wrong career decisions.
Exactly, yes. I hope he doesn't. And he's a youngster that I think that he needs a team that actually promotes his growth. You know, not your PSG. Like I've always said, Mbappe is not going to grow as fast as he should be if he stays at PSG. He needs a Barcelona, he needs your Man City, you know, he needs your Manchester United, he needs your Real Madrid. That's the only way he can actually grow. So I'm looking at him, not, you know, Jovic was exciting. We thought that Real Madrid was going to catapult him to superstardom, but he actually failed it. So it also depends on the personality, on the character of the player. I think he needs a bigger stage as soon as possible to actually grow. Like what you have seen with Haaland. But you know, Haaland is just, his level has just gone up in margin.
He's caught fire. I do, however, think that Rafael Leao has had the benefit of being in this Milan team that's on the rise and is re-establishing itself. So I think for now, certainly for this season and next season,
superstardom, you won't find him there.
Hold on, hear me out. Because what I'm saying is, right now, this season and next, I think he's in the right place. Because he's getting the space that he requires, and he's in a league that is
allowing him to grow.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Then, after that, then perhaps he can then make that big step.
How long?
Like I said, end of this season, maybe even next.
He can stay in Italy. Okay.
Yeah.
But there's also been big investment that's come in to AC Milan. They've been bought by Red Capital.
Yeah, there
for
we go.
One and a half. So they're now, of course, a sister club to Liverpool. Because they're owned by principally the same people now.
Mm.
And I think that should see more money come into AC Milan. And perhaps, you know, the ability for them to strengthen even more. Because right now, he's been quoted at £120 million. There's no telling how much this, how valuable this boy will be after this season.
Yeah. I hope he has got a strong release clause.
Yeah.
It might end up like Haaland.
So anyway, the net result of all those results in Italy this weekend is that things are very tight at the top. In fact, the top 8 teams in Serie A are separated by only 3 points.
I love it.
So Napoli in first, AC Milan in second, Atalanta in third, Udinese in fourth, Roma in fifth, Juventus in sixth, Internazionale in seventh, and Lazio in eighth. They are just 3 points separating all those teams. Time, of course, not a friend on the show, but we've got just enough time to tell you, of course, of results out of Spain. Real Sociedad and Atletico Madrid, 1-0 draw. Sevilla thumped at home by Barcelona, 3-0. It could have been 6 or 7 in that game. Lewandowski scoring once again. Real Madrid, 2-1 victors over Real Betis. But the standout result was that 5-1 win by Valencia over Getafe. Very quickly, Barry, we've seen Gattuso come in and play unlike himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a hard man, you know, a grafter, but his sides play with panache, with a lot of flair. Very surprising. We don't expect Italian managers classically to play in this, because they look like a genuine Spanish side.
They look like a Spanish side. They're playing Spanish football there, and yet they've got an Italian manager and a very hard man.
Yeah.
As their coach. So Rino Gattuso has reinvented himself, and we love it. You're absolutely enjoying what Valencia is doing, and long, long may it last. Unfortunately, what can't last is the show.
Yeah, it can't last, Barry, but we do promise that I think Germany, France, the VAR controversies, and it's a lot more, as well as a bit of Africa, we'll be discussing all that on tomorrow's edition of ZFM Sports. So you don't want to miss the beautiful game section on tomorrow's show.
For now, may God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Menande, out.
And it's Messi! It is the cleanest best of clean finishes from the best on the planet.
The biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Muddled, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are Z Team on ZFM Sport.
Z.